Our scripture reading today begins with the book of Acts, chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. This is the word of the Lord. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote you about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And now I'd like to read another passage from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 15. And Paul writes this to the church: "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." This is the word of the Lord, and we say thanks be to God. Friends in Christ, have you ever been asked this question? I know I have. If you could go back in time and meet with any historical figure, who would you want to meet with? Who would you like to talk with? Who would you like to have coffee with? And I would answer that myself. Say, I would like to go back to the time when Jesus was on the earth, and I would like to have coffee with Jesus. because he is the central, most important figure in the history of the world, in my view, because he is not only the creator, he is also the redeemer. Some of the people that I feel most envious of were Jesus' disciples, who were just doing their thing, doing their lives, and then Jesus came along and said, "Follow me." And for 3 years, these people walked with Jesus. They listened to Jesus. They watched as he performed miracles and revealed to them what a person should really be like and what a person really should do. He was the perfect example for all of us and the source of all wisdom. I would just love to have been a disciple. It must have been a joy for them to have been with Jesus. But then it wasn't such a joy. And the storm clouds started to gather. People that were threatened by Jesus began to conspire against him. And his disciples knew that there was trouble ahead. They even warned him, "Jesus, don't go to Jerusalem. You're going to get in trouble there." But Jesus insisted. He knew it was his calling. And what the disciples were afraid of actually did happen. Jesus was arrested. He was accused. He was beaten. He was condemned. He was crucified. And he died. So that beautiful time the disciples had with Jesus came to a screeching halt in death and in blood and in fear. What was going on in their minds on that Good Friday, on the days when Jesus was in the tomb? Sadness, depression, despair, deep regret, all those kind of things. But 3 days later, what happened? The tomb was open. Jesus emerged from the tomb. He presented himself alive. He spoke to them. He ate with them. And for 40 days, the disciples were able to spend intense time with Jesus again. And the joy they had before the crucifixion was only amplified after Jesus' resurrection. This is fantastic. This is wonderful. And then the disciples asked this question in the text. They said, "Jesus, is this the time? Now are you finally going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" In other words, are you finally going to kick out those Romans? Are you finally going to restore our place? And they were excitedly awaiting the answer. Oh boy, this is going to be great, finally. And Jesus answers cryptically. He says, "It's not for you to know the time or the date when the Father has said." He says that that is for the Father to do. That's not for you to know, and it's not for me to decide. That belongs to the Father. And they said, "Well, Jesus, sometimes it's hard to figure out. What is he getting at? What does he mean?" And as they are puzzling about this, trying to understand what he's saying, because they really don't get it, then this ascension happens, where Jesus, resurrected, glorious, wise, loved, is lifted up and goes back to be with his Father. And the clouds hide him from their sight, it says. What are they to think now? What's their emotion, this roller coaster life that with Christ that they have been on? Now what do they think? Now what do they feel? They feel, we had him, we lost him, we had him again, and now we've lost him again. And they were looking up, perplexed and not knowing what to think, not knowing what to do. And then those two figures come with that great revelation, which they should have known. Say, as you have seen him go, so he will return. And now we serve the ascended Lord. We can think about and wonder about what was going on inside the apostles or inside those disciples. The question that I have for myself and the question I have for you is, what is this doing in you? What is this making you feel about? One of the problems we have is that we live in this time very much post-ascension. We believe that Jesus is in heaven, that he has ascended and he is there. He's at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for us, and he's preparing a place for us, and he's getting ready to come back to us when the time is right. But we have not seen him. All of us are people that have not walked into the room and seen Jesus there in the flesh. We've not shaken his hand. We've not noticed the color of his eyes. It's only by faith, the eyes of our heart allow us to see Jesus. And our cultured despisers say, how can you believe in somebody that you haven't seen? How can you take all of this on faith? And all we can say is, I know what I have believed. And I confess that the Spirit of God has made this known to me, and I can testify to the change that it has made in me, and I can tell you of the comfort and peace that I've received, and I can tell you that I am convinced, and that convincing is God's gift to me, and I live and stand on that faith. But we still don't have Jesus to see, and for some, that is a stumbling block. I've wondered, why did God arrange things in such a way that we would be left here on the earth while our Lord, his body, is up in heaven? Why did he plan this distance between us? And part of the answer to that question is, in a very real way, he has not left us. We know that the Spirit is here, and next Sunday we're going to be celebrating Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and we'll be reflecting on that a lot more. And if you're watching this now, please come back next week to hear that part of the story as well. But when we are together as believers in Christ, when we are together as the church of Jesus Christ, there is one thing that we are called. We are called the body of Christ. We are called the body of Christ. And that is not just a shorthand. That's not just an image without meaning. That is something with content. It is our calling as Christians who confess the ascended Lord to be our Savior. We are together the body of Christ. And therefore, if Jesus is going to speak in our world, so that others can hear him, Jesus' voice will come out of our mouths. If Jesus sees an injustice that needs to be corrected, if Jesus sees a wounded person that needs to be healed, If Jesus sees a sad person that needs to be comforted, how is Jesus going to heal and comfort and bless? The way he does that is through you. You become the representative, indeed, even more. You are the body of Christ. So when you see a need that needs to be met, and we do that, we are being the body. And Jesus is in heaven, but he knows what's happening here. He sees us. He is present with us through his Spirit. And we look forward to the day when he will return, that he will be with us. And the day is coming when we will shake his hand. The day is coming when he will embrace us and we will embrace him back. The day is coming when this divide between heaven and earth, between Jesus and us, will be taken away, and he will be Emmanuel, God with us. As we await that day, let us serve the Lord. Let us not fail to speak his word of truth. Let us not hesitate to go into the places where he wishes us to go, that we might demonstrate the compassion and the kindness and the love that is his for the world. What a privilege for us to be the people of the Lord who is in heaven, whose Spirit is here and allows us to be his body together. Thanks be to God. Amen.